Good morning, everybody. We are here. This is Lizzie and Justin live on Facebook at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning in October. And we are, as usual, really glad to be here and reflecting on the source that Justin's brought for our conversation today. It seems to me that what gets said here is a very particular conversation. And I'm feeling really grateful for that. Like it's has a quality of indirectness about it, that it can reach us in a different way than normal conversations. This is how I'm experiencing it. And I'm just really in appreciation of the kinds of sources that we choose and the kind of conversations we want to have. Feel like they don't happen particularly ordinarily elsewhere. And I just want to say how grateful I am for that and to welcome you as well into the conversation with us. I think that's part of it for me, is that this is a conversation between us now, Justin and I, and you're in it too, wherever you're listening now, whether you're driving along or in bed or walking or cooking a meal or whatever the way you listen to this is. You are here with us, really. And the intention of these conversations is that they reach into the world in all kinds of ways. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being the world into which they reach, because it is a reciprocal relationship. So we are so grateful if you ever contact us, tell us what you think, contribute to the conversation on Facebook, or leave a review for us, or whatever you do, or email us, whatever the thing is. We're always so grateful, and we share everything that each of us receives as well from you. So don't think that we're like famous people or something who wouldn't email you back, or we're just really ordinary and get excited if this is meaningful to anyone and you communicate that with us. So if you ever feel like you want to reach out, please do, either on Facebook, or you can go to our website, wearethirdspace.org, and find out more about us and the other things that we do. But I think I just want to begin by being just very grateful for the nature of these conversations, and grateful to you, Justin, for picking this particular poem by the amazing Rosemary Wotola Troma, who has her own Facebook live broadcasting system. So if you go to her page on Facebook, I think it's every day she reads a poem and she discusses it with you live and talks about it and brings things to life in all kinds of beautiful ways. So we would love to send you her way as well, if you can find a minute to find her. Her name is at the bottom of the source on Facebook, but it's Rosemary Wotola Troma, and she's a very lovely person. She may be listening, so Rosemary, if you're listening, hello and welcome, and we're so glad that you are you and things like this come through you and get gifted to us for our inspiration and conversation and being led into these places. So thank you.
Thank you for that, Lizzie. I want to say thank you to Rosemary as well, who I'm pretty sure will be listening to this. What a gift to be able to share your work with people. It's very nice to be able to say thank you to you directly for the depth and the aliveness of your writing. And I wanted to, of course, add my welcome, Lizzie, to everyone, to your full and warm and wide welcome that you just made. And I want to add one other thing to it, which is one of the ways that we're finding that people get involved in this conversation is by sharing it with other people. And I think, Lizzie, we so often find that we end up in a conversation here that has wider ramifications for our lives. And so often I want to share what we're doing with other people who I know. Oh, listen to this. There's something here that could be really important. So, of course, you're so welcome to bring the whole project or particular conversations into the lives of people you know and love. It's a wonderful way of entering into maybe a conversation that's not the ordinary one that you would have. And that, in fact, is the topic of Rosemary's poem that we've chosen for today. So you can find the poem, as Lizzie said, on our Facebook page. You can also find it on turningtowards.life. And of course, then head over to Rosemary's work and find out about her if you want as well. And I'm going to read it, and Lizzie's going to read it, and then we'll talk. So what I'm going to suggest that you do if you're listening is see if you can, if you're in a position to pause and to let this in. You may not be able to do that if you're driving or something, but if you're in a place that you can just gather yourself for a moment, not rush into this. In every conversation, there is a table made of listening. Sometimes the tables are beautiful, solid, clean, the kind that can support anything you put on them. Sometimes they're like the TV dinner trays of my childhood, a little rickety, but they'll do if what's put on them is light. Sometimes they're so cluttered that whatever's placed on their surface is almost immediately lost. Let tonight's table have a small vase of flowers and a candle, perhaps, nothing else. May it be small enough we might see each other's eyes, might notice every nuance of breath. Whomever I'm most nervous to invite, may I invite them. And though the tea is just a metaphor, may I offer, may they accept.
In every conversation, there is a table made of listening. Sometimes the tables are beautiful, solid, clean, the kind that can support anything you put on them. Sometimes they're like TV dinner trays of my childhood, a little rickety, but they'll do if what's put on them is light. Sometimes they're so cluttered that whatever's placed on their surface is almost immediately lost. Let tonight's table have a small vase of flowers and a candle, perhaps, nothing else. May it be small enough we might see each other's eyes, might notice every nuance of breath. Whomever I am most nervous to invite, may I invite them. And though the tea is just a metaphor, may I offer, may they accept.
Thanks, Lizzie. So one of the reasons I brought this, I wanted to bring this poem in, is because I think this has been my life's work so far, has been finding out how gradually, step by step, might be possible to have a table between us when we're listening to one another that's actually able to hold whatever comes and not get in the way. And I can feel, Lizzie, such long periods of my life where I think even like the beginning of this poem would be so challenging for me, even to imagine that there might be a kind of listening that we would have between one another where it was possible to bring whatever was called for to bring and the table would support it, would have been unbelievable for me. I think for so much of my life, and I suspect this is true for many of us, we often only get to encounter the second and third kind of table that Rosemary talks about, the one that's rickety and can't really hold that much. It will kind of do, it will get us by. We can live a long time in life with a rickety kind of listening between us, but somehow it's not firm enough for what really matters to come. Or we live in a kind of conversational space where there's really no room for anything to come. Whatever gets spoken sort of falls off the table as quickly as it's on there.
Mm.
And the part of it that I think is most of this that is most resonant for me is to see how much of this has been and is my own work of learning to be a person who can do my part in laying out a table that can hold anything. Mm. But a lot of the time, what goes on in conversations for me when they're of the first kind, yes, of course, it may have something to do with the other person. Of course, it has something to do with the other people involved. How could it not? But really where it starts is, am I willing to play my part to lay out the ground that things can stay here and I won't knock them off and I won't cover them up and I won't smother them? And that can really take a ton of courage to be that way, to be a person who can lay out a welcome. And as you were reading and you got to the line of Rosemary's, whomever I'm most nervous to invite, may I invite them, I realized that actually a lot of what has made it possible and continues to make it possible for me to walk this path is my willingness to invite the parts of me that I'm nervous about including. And until I can do that, there's very, very little opportunity for me to be welcoming to the parts of you that I might be nervous to invite. If I'm already sort of clearing my own parts of me off the table and trying to make sure that I don't feel stuff, or they don't get seen, or I don't get embarrassed, or I don't get touched, or I don't get moved, or I don't get confused, or whatever. If I'm not prepared, if I'm making my own space of the table rickety or cluttered or unsafe to stand on, no one else really has a chance to do very much in bringing themselves. And so, yes, this is a relational question. Of course it is. I'm feeling the way that it starts with us, the way it starts with me, and how much we have to do, how much courage it takes to step in at all this way.
Yeah, it really does. And when you were listening, Justin, I just, you know, had my eyes closed and let the imagery come. And it's so beautiful, this poem, in terms of the picture that it paints in the listening of it. And what I noticed is, you know, I totally hear you on the it starts with us. And I also notice the part of me that goes, this is what I want for the world. You know, this is what I want for families that I'm not in. And, you know, I feel really, it's so delicately, poetically, lightly articulated, something that's extremely needed. And I feel the same, Justin, that this feels like my life's work as well, like being open enough to invite it all in myself and others. And what a beginning point listening actually is, the powerful nature of the kind of table that we lay out, and how that premise is such a foundation for whatever else follows. So whoever arrives at the table, whatever's happening, the nature of the table that I've set out is the parameters of what gets brought. And we say often enough in our work, Justin, the kind of listening that happens is the thing that gets, that determines what gets said. But this is like the best articulation of that I've ever encountered. The most moving for me, and the most obvious and the most clear. And for it to have this metaphor of tables in it feels so relevant. And I also had, and still have, really rickety little tables at my mum and dad's house that we used to have our little fish fingers on in front of the telly. And just having that feeling of that, and having that comparison to the kind of, you know, the places I'm often in where my table is really rickety. Like, I'm finding it really helpful in this moment to have that comparison, because I can say, you know, is my listening the rickety table right now, or is my listening the table with the flowers and the candle? And I think what also moves me about what you were saying, Justin, is that I know that my greatest teachers have been the people who lay out this candle and the flower, and who make this not only a kind of like undercover practice, like, oh, this is the secret mission of my life, but they actually are brave enough to make this obvious to people. So those of the people in my life who actually say, I would like to have a conversation, I'm lighting a candle, I'm putting a flower out, and I'm inviting you here. And I can feel the bravery of doing that, and not just kind of surreptitiously trying to have the conversation on a walk or something, but actually, I mean, a walk is lovely. The walk could be the table too. But I'm finding the intentionality of this when I'm reviewing in this moment who is like this for me in the world. The intentionality of it is so brave to say, let's open up the table for whatever wants to be said. Because without opening up the table, maybe the thing that wants to be said never gets said at all. And so I'm feeling the practice of this, the overt practice of it, and how important that is. And not just kind of always having a table ready or something, even though that's also beautiful, but the opening of a table and designating it as everything is welcome just feels really important and rare. And I'm really loving this, how this metaphor is living in me and birthing new ways of feeling it and seeing it.
I was imagining, as you were speaking, all different kinds of table spaces like Rosemary invites us into. And this invitation in the poem to have a table that can at once hold whatever comes, but is small enough that we can notice one another, that we can see one another and notice one another. I was particularly taken by two parts near the end, Lizzie. One is maybe small enough that we might see each other's eyes and might notice every nuance of breath. It's the first one.
Mm.
When one of the ways I know sometimes when other people have made the invitation to me that you've just described, here, let's talk. I can feel the part of me immediately that gets afraid or ashamed, like, what's going to happen in this conversation? Is this a secret plan to shame me or cast me out? Or all the things that parts of me are afraid of, the sort of protective, defensive parts of me are afraid of. And it's such a thing to feel when somebody is able to make the genuine invitation of, I really want to talk. This is not a secret plan to get you. This is, can we know one another? Can we be together with one another, with whatever's here?
Yeah.
And to notice each other's nuance of breath, it struck me that breath is such a pointed, particular way of noticing one another, is to notice how one another are breathing.
Mm.
Is to give us a really, and how we are breathing, is to give us a really immediate way into what's happening here. Does this conversation feel safe? Does it feel welcoming? Mm. Can I even tell? Or am I just going to barge on, you know, with whatever my agenda is? No. And it's such what a relief it is to find ourselves in a space where that's possible, even if we've been terrified of the possibility of talking to one another. You mean I really am welcome here. You mean you do care how this is for me and I can care how this is for you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's rare for many of us. I mean, certainly I'm talking about myself. I can see so many ways that my protective parts of me have done their best to make sure that the table is as very tiny as possible and nothing can come on it. You know, no space it. So the other thing that struck me whilst you were talking was this last line. May I offer, may they accept. How different it is to enter into, to be intentional about a conversation with one another that's an offer, not a demand, not an order, not a way of getting something, but an offer. I would really like to speak with you, Lizzie. I would mostly, I think maybe the way to say it is I'd really like to listen to you. I'd really like to hear you. I'd really like to understand and to know how this is for you. And I'd love to be able to say how this is for me. And then together we can find out what, where, how next. That the quality of offering, rather than trying to have our conversations be, or at least this kind of conversation, be a way that we get someone else to be the way that we want them to be. That's the thing which I think takes proper courage, and courage in its fullest sense of being an act of love. There's something extraordinarily loving about being able to do our part to make it possible for us to have the conversation that's here to have, whatever it is. And it might be the most delightful, life-giving, exhilarating, world-opening conversation we've ever had, or it might be difficult and we might be tentative and who knows. But either way, the quality of offering, I think, maybe it's just me, I think it's so often missing in our lives, that sense that that's what we're doing by being in conversation with one another.
Yeah, what's arising for me, Justin, is just how in the scenario that you're talking about, it touches the place in me that really does genuinely want to know what's going on. And I notice that when the table's really small, there's no way I could really know what's going on, or to a greater extent than is currently available. So if I offer the space that's really small, and I have a particular agenda and I want you to be different, it doesn't actually meet the longing that I have to really know, like really, really know what this is like for you. And I feel like that might be quite a kind of universal longing, you know, that we all just want to unearth what's true. Like truth seems like a really important thing to humans. And yet the setup is often so untruth inviting. The setup of our listening is often so bounded that there's no way that we could hear anything other than what we're looking for in the kind of parameters of what we're looking for. So if I go in with an intention that's quite small of yes or no, for example, that you could only give me a yes or a no, what I am afforded, what I'm given in terms of the underneath of things is nothing, very, very minimal. But if I enter in with a kind of openness that there might be yeses and nos in there, but there's way, way more than that. There's feelings, there's wonderings, there's fears, there's all kinds of things. And out of that field of complexity, quality actions can take place rather than uninformed ones or narrow-viewed ones. So I'm feeling this really big kind of field open up, I guess, like a space open up that opens because of the agenda or the size of my own listening that I enter into a conversation with. So when you're talking about may I offer and may they accept, the intentionality of my offer feels so in, what's the word? Like that's going to determine whether and how it is accepted as well. Especially if I don't have to accept. Like, how do I make an offer that's an invitation to be taken up rather than one to be frightened of or to be... So what is it in my offering of the conversation that has the table be the kind of table that people want to sit at and people want to be disclosive at, and people find themselves talking in a way that they kind of thought, ooh. This happens, like, I've been in taxis sometimes when the taxi driver is this kind of table. And I find myself telling him all kinds of, or her kinds of things that... I remember I got in a taxi once and I was leaving my niece, who I'd been sharing a room with for 2 weeks in this place that my sister had rented. and I got in the car and I found myself like hysterically crying with this person taking me to the airport. And she asked me all about why I was crying and what was going on. And we had this really amazing conversation where I was basically kind of like that kind of crying. And Beau had been crying. So we were, you know, separating, and it was really hard for us. Beau's my niece. And I remember thinking about her and thinking, what is it about this person that allowed me to just spill everything into her taxi? And I feel like she was one of these tables, just really open. And when I was crying, she didn't hand me some tissues and tell me to be quiet or close the window between her and I or something. But she just said, oh, so tell me some more about that and how beautiful that you miss each other that way. And she's just really curious. And I feel like these kinds of tables appear in like really beautiful, unexpected places as well. And that gives me the kind of, I suppose, the pointer, the reference point of what it might be like for me to be that for people too.
I too have had some of my most moving conversations with people driving taxis. And it strikes me that none of us has to be a person who's taken up talking and listening to one another as our profession to take on this invitation. That's not at all what it's about. And it also struck me, Lizzie, that there's something here to do with, you know, when you said curiosity, like our willingness to be a loving welcome to whatever comes, to be curious is to be able to go, I'll be here with whatever comes, and I'm really genuinely fascinated, amazed, longing to understand and loving in towards whatever comes. That's what we need. And that a big part of that might be the practices that help us find the part of us. No, that's not even the wrong way I want to say it. That of us that is not any of our defensive parts or any of our needy parts or any of our get the world in a particular shape part, but is the way bigger, way deeper, loving, curious depth that we are. When we're able to inhabit that part, one of the things that happens is that I think we can start to welcome the defensive parts in us and the confused parts in us and the shamed parts in us when they show up in the conversation, instead of reacting from them and trying to make them go away by shutting you down or closing myself off or clearing stuff off the table.
Mm-hmm.
When I can go, welcome, little one, I get your fear here. I get your shame here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm way, way bigger and deeper and wider than that, so that I can listen to, so we have to listen to ourselves as well as to listen to the other person in order to do this.
Yeah.
And I also think it calls on us to find a way to be unhurried. So often we're trying to get, one of the reasons it's hard to lay out a table like this is that we're trying to have everything fit into some kind of timetable. Can only have this conversation if it lasts 3 minutes, but not if it lasts six or an hour.
Mm-hmm.
What it might be to be like the driver of the taxi you talked about, where you've got a bounded amount of time to get from wherever you're getting in the car to wherever you're going, and that's just spacious.
Mm.
Can we be with that with one another? And what a relief it is! What a relief it is to our striving and our longing and our, when we find that it's someone else's safe ground for us in that way, and then the field between us that we've often talked about. That's when the field in which things arise gets to be established.
Mm. Yeah. I got thinking about the mutuality in this as well, Justin. I know you said it's clearly like a relational thing. And I'm feeling into the possibility of two or more in a gathering at the small enough table with some flowers and a candle and a clear space, and how amazing that is. and how nurturing it is and how needed it is and how it requires a kind of dedication to space and spaciousness and unhurriedness, like you're saying. And I think I can really say that those spaces have been, out of anything and everything I've ever done, and this continues to be this way, this kind of community creation has been the most transformative practice ever, and one which I'm not prepared to let go of. And there's resistance in it sometimes, like I don't feel able or I feel exhausted or something, but it doesn't have the same quality as other practices that I've taken up over the years, that I kind of, they dwindle or they have their life and it's quite short or something. This practice of being around the table with others in this way of intentional listening feels like the elixir of life. That this brings back hope and brings clarity and brings safety and builds relationship and resolves things, all kinds of different things. It just feels really sacred and important that we all have something like this in our lives. Some tables like this that we're either the creators of or the recipients of or dancing with because we've made it with someone else. This feels like what nurturing is made of, as I'm feeling into it and sitting at the table now even.
Yeah, we get to sit at a table like this every week, Lizzie, and of course, I know this about you. You and I have many, we're fortunate to have many other places that we can sit at tables like the ones that you're talking about. And I think that's a wonderful place for us to end, is this reminder that you just made that we might make or seek out people and places where we can again and again and again enter into sitting around the kind of table that Rosemary lays out for us. And how if we don't, until we start to seek them out, I think that for most of us, the world won't bring them our way.
Yeah.
Because I know streaming television and scrolling through Facebook feeds and the busyness of work and the practicalities of raising a family and, you know, all the things that happen, the world itself does not often bring us, look over here, in the place that Rosemary's poem is saying, look over here, look over here.
Mm.
And we've got lots of proxies for this, lots of, you know, I know that when I get deeply involved in watching a beautiful film or a TV series or something that really moves me, it can feel like that's a sort of partly an answer to this, but it's not the, it may be wonderfully entertaining and it may be life-giving and rich, but it's not like being with people. And isn't it amazing that at this time, when at least here where you and I are, Lizzie, it's harder and harder right now to be with people.
Yeah,
we have ways that we can be with people, like this technology that we're using brings us into contact with one another. So here's to the intentional practice of laying out tables like this for one another again and again and again, because of what you say, it's perhaps one of the most life-giving places we can find ourselves, even if we've not been there for a long time. Well, thank you so much, Lizzie, for this conversation. Thank you everyone for being with us. We will be back, all being well, next week.
Thank you everybody, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.